Good morning. It's good to celebrate Christmas. Amen? Amen. Such a wonderful time of the year to remember God's gift to us in sending His Son. I do want to mention two things. One, if you haven't had a chance to look at the prayer list in your bulletin, please keep that close. And remember those families throughout the week. There's a lot of names there. More loss of life this week, hospitalizations, people admitted to care centers, surgeries, recovery, COVID, you name it. Lots and lots of names. And so please keep one eye to that prayer list and remember the families, the names, the circumstances that are there. The other thing I would mention to you, if you did not notice, this year, because we have a TV in the foyer, Linda has put together a nice little memorial for those that we have lost this year. And so there's just a little tribute on the TV out there in the foyer if you want to take a couple minutes afterwards to look at that. Let's pray before we go any further. God, our Father, thank you for this season. As Pastor Charles has read to us John 3:16 and 17, verses that seems like maybe pertinent to the whole world knows, we're reminded again of your great love, O God, in sending to us your Son. And not just us that sit here this morning, but the world. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Father, for loving the world in all of our wrinkles and warts and sin. Thank you for loving us to the point of sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to come and take on the form of a human baby, to be born, laid in a manger. And as we sing, yet you are Lord even in that manger. You are Lord at your birth. What a wonderful occasion. What a wonderful blessed event, O God. We get to celebrate this every year at this time. Thank you. Thank you that we have the freedoms to celebrate you like this, O Lord. But Father, as we look at the memorials on the TV in the foyer and we look at the prayer list, and we just look around us in America, we're very aware, Lord, of the hurt and the difficulties, the pandemic and death. We're not as aware as you are, but we're very aware that even though we are in this festive, joyous time of year, there's sorrow, there's heaviness, there's suffering and pain. And so we want to pray for that this morning, Lord. We want to lift that up to you and ask for your divine intervention in all of these names, all of these circumstances, these organizations, all the things that are listed here, and those things in our mind. We want to lift them up to you this morning, Almighty God, and pray thy will is done in every circumstance, in every situation. And I pray that as we continue through this Advent season up until Thursday and Friday, when some will celebrate all these wonderful things again, I pray that you would comfort each and every one. They might be alone in a hospital bed. They might be alone in a care center. They might be alone at home. They might be suffering at home. They might be just in a difficult way. Father, would you comfort them this season like only you can? And so as we look at your word this morning, Father, will you guide us by your Spirit? We really do want to glorify your great name, O God. And will you be with churches everywhere that are gathering right now, have or will? Will you guide and direct all of us by your Spirit so that you receive the glory, Heavenly Father, and that you infuse into us, your people, the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ? And we would be remiss, Heavenly Father, if we prayed for those that don't have the hope. We want to pray for them this morning. They may be people that have never been in church house. They may be people that are always in a church house. Only you know the human heart. But if they don't have the hope of Jesus, we pray that your Spirit would touch with their spirit and they would come to Christ by faith this season. And so guide us as we have this time set aside to worship you and to look at Scripture. Guide us by your Spirit. We want to give you the glory. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I try to read a little bit of news each week. I don't listen to any TV. I look at my phone too much, looking for news. And this article that came up on my phone this week was perfectly timed for timely for what the Lord had put on my heart this morning. Here's what the first line of the article said. According to the Gallup poll released on Monday, December 7th, frequent church attendees were the only group in the United States that did not experience a mental health decline in 2020. Did that register with you, brothers and sisters? According to this latest poll that Gallup did recently, they have concluded in this pandemic-stricken year, frequent church attendees were the only group in America that did not experience a mental health decline this year. There's good news with that, and there's some not so good. The good news is we that have the hope of Jesus, the peace, I'm going to talk about peace this morning. We know that he will help us through these things. We know that our lives are not dependent upon government or people. They're not even dependent upon preachers, presidents, popes, kings. Our lives are dependent upon the Prince of Peace, okay? We know that. And this study just reconfirms that those of us that have that peace of Jesus, that have trusted him completely, we have given our lives to him completely, we know that we have that internal peace. And yes, it says frequent church attendees, so we're trying to worship the best we can, as often as we can. But this just reiterates that fact that those people have a peace inside that transcends pandemics. Those on the other side of the coin, those who are suffering from the, I will say, call it the lack of internal and eternal peace that only Jesus the Christ can provide, are hurting deeply. Troubled, anxious, panicked, that's the other side of the coin. And so we're going to talk about peace today. I've called it peace in a non-peaceful time. Charles mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned today that the fourth candle here is the candle of love. A couple of weeks ago, we had the candle of peace. Peace is a beautiful thing. You still with me? Peace is a beautiful thing in our spirit, in our soul. And 700 plus years before this baby was born, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6 said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful and Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, I don't know how much you know about the time of Isaiah, but the setting of Isaiah was teaching, preaching, crying out to primarily the 10 northern tribes of the the nation of Israel, because in just a few years, because of their rejection of God and their idol worship, they were going to be carried away by the Assyrians into captivity and slavery. That is the setting that Isaiah is teaching. And Isaiah reminds the people there's going to come a time when a child is going to be born to us, and one of his names is going to be a Prince of Peace. There wasn't a whole lot of peace in the 10 northern tribes. They were idol worshipers. They had opposition from every corner because they disobeyed God. They walked away from God. There wasn't any peace. And yet Isaiah is proclaiming to them, there's going to come a time when a child is going to be born, and one of his names, one of his attributes, one of his qualities is going to be the Prince of Peace. That does not mean necessarily when he is born, everything will be perfect. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying, this Prince of Peace, when we claim him, when we live for him, when we deny ourselves and say we're going to follow him, we will have a peace that the rest of the world does not know. In your Bibles, in Luke chapter 2, let's turn there. This is part of the Christmas story. We just do well to go to the Christmas story. And so I want to read this part of the story before I talk any more about peace. Picking it up, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you,' the angel said to the shepherds. 'You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly," the Bible says, "there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.'" I suspect these shepherds who are accustomed to being out at night, they took care of the sheep, they tended the sheep, they were not in town, they were out there, and of course there wasn't that many lights except for the natural lights of the sky. I suspect that when the angel showed up and then this multitude of heavenly host showed up, I suspect rather than peace, terror might have been a better description for them. And yet the angel's message to them and to the world, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. That did not mean that the Israelite people, the Jewish people, were going to have peace from the Romans. It did not mean they were going to have perfect peace all around them. What the angels were proclaiming here, there's going to be an opportunity for people to experience a peace that the world cannot give. And so here comes these angels with this message. There's one coming that's going to provide and offer to you peace. You know the setting of this time in Luke chapter 2. The reason that Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem is because the Romans were wanting a census so they could properly tax everyone. The Jewish people were tired of the Romans' oppression. And so peace to them would have meant, finally, the Romans aren't going to be hanging around our neck. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a very different kind of peace. Now let me take it one step further. We've talked about what Isaiah said. We've talked about what the angels announced that night. Now let me equate this peace to today, this year. When I think of this year, 2020, peace is probably about the last word that comes to my mind. Are you still with me? We've been through quite a year. We've been through a year of pandemic that we in this generation have never known before. We have been through a contentious election time. We have seen death. We have seen difficulty of all kind. We have seen madness on the streets of our cities. We have seen rioting. We have seen burning. We have seen looting, mayhem. We have seen our schools close. Children have to learn at home. We have seen disruptions to life of every kind here in the church and everyday life. Things have changed in the pandemic completely. We have seen sickness. We have seen COVID affect our people in our communities. We have seen parents bogged down and grandparents bogged down trying to teach their children when they're trying to learn virtually and driving perhaps those students and the parent alike to madness. My wife knows the feeling. She's been teaching a couple for months. But this is the time we have been found ourselves in. And when I think of this year, 2020, peace is not the first word that comes to mind. But I am telling you, there is still peace in all of this madness. Even in the most chaotic of times, Jesus is still here. Jesus is still available. Jesus is still with us. And when we have claimed Him as Lord, we can endure those kinds of difficulty differently than the world endures those difficulties. Let me give you a couple examples. These texts aren't written in your bulletin, but you know the stories. In John chapter 20, on the day of His resurrection, you know the story. The disciples are behind locked doors. They're panicked. They got the Romans. They got the Jewish religious leaders. They're worried. The Christ, the Savior, has just been killed. They saw Him hanging on the cross. They saw Him go to the tomb. They're bewildered. So they're behind these locked doors, and all of a sudden, there's Jesus. And if they didn't have enough anxiety in their spirit and their lives already, boom, there He was, almost like ghost-like. He was just there. And the first word He says to them, do you remember the word? Peace. He said peace. And I believe that same kind of a message to those disciples that night, He would say to us today, I know what you're experiencing. I know the calamities of life. I know the pain, the hurt, the suffering, the mayhem, the madness. And in that moment is when He comes to the disciples and He reminds them, peace. Or the story from Mark chapter 4, when this is partway through His ministry, He is going across the Sea of Galilee with the disciples, and all of a sudden a tumultuous storm kicks up. You know this story too. And the disciples are probably straining at the oars, probably trying to change the sail, trying to adjust so they're not capsized in this sea and drowned. And they're worried and they're panicked, and Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat. You remember the story? And they come to Him and they wake Him up and they say, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Do you remember His word? He said, peace. Peace, be still, He said. And I believe it's in these kind of moments, this kind of year that we have just experienced, when it seems to be tumultuous and just the waves and the winds of life are beating us down, and we might sense, I'm about to perish. And Jesus comes along and reminds us who he is, and he says, peace. I want to ask you, friends, this morning to ponder this. I'll ask you now and I'll ask you again to close. Do you know him to the point of even when the waves and the winds, the pandemics and death and madness and mayhem and looting and burning and destruction is happening, do you know the Prince of Peace well enough? You've surrendered completely to him that you've got a peace in here in spite of all the stuff around us. Do you know him well enough? Not in your head, but do you know him in your spirit well enough that there is a peace that comes over you in spite of all the external? Do you know that peace? You can if you don't. You can know that. You say, well, Jim, I thought the peace comes in the millennial. Well, I'm not talking about peace on the streets today, although we would long for that, would we not? We would long for some peace in Washington instead of constant head bashing. We would long for peace amongst us. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a peace that's here that only comes from the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. A peace that will help guide you through the storms of life. A peace that will carry you through the troubled waters of life. Oh, we long for peace all around us, but the peace on the streets, that's not going to happen until he returns. But you can know a peace in here because of the Prince of Peace. I think of our friends in Africa, in China, in North Korea, and in Iran, and places all over the globe today that are dying for the cause of Jesus. Government, radicals, whomever. People are dying because they have claimed the name of Jesus. And yet they are steadfast in that claim and in their walk because of that peace that is in here. That's the kind of peace that Jesus offers. The peace that passes understanding that the Apostle Paul talks about is real. And it is available to every one of us when we claim and follow Jesus, when we claim him as Lord. When you read through the book of Job, you're reminded midway through the whole book, as Job's friends, the Bible calls them, are supposedly ministering to him, he comes back with this statement. After he's lost so much and his physical health is gone, he says this, even though they slay me, yet in my flesh I will see God. You see, he had that peace. Even though they kill me, I've got that peace because I'm going to see the Lord. That's the kind of peace Jesus is talking about. That's the kind of peace Isaiah was talking about. The angels were talking about that kind of peace that carries us through the most difficult parts of life we can imagine. The peace only comes from Jesus. When you get told you've got cancer, or you get told you've got COVID, or you get a phone call like some in the earlier congregation did, your brother has died this week. Or you get a message from your spouse, also first service, maybe this service, I don't love you anymore, I want a divorce. Or some other message. There still can be a peace in our spirit knowing that Jesus is still Lord. Peace it may not be in our bodies because they hurt with cancer or COVID, but peace that's in our heart and in our soul that only can come from Jesus. In John 14:27, Jesus said this to his disciples the night before he was crucified. And let me just give you a brief setting again. He'd already told them, one of you is going to betray me. He'd already told them, you're all going to desert me. He'd told them at least three different times, I am going to die. And so they're anxious. They're troubled. That's why he starts John 14 in verse 1 like he does. You can read that if you've forgotten. But he gets to John 14, 27, and this is the night before he's going to die on the cross. And he says, peace. He says to them as he says to us, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. In other words, he's telling us this is not a peace that you can kind of claim from the world or work towards. This is a peace in my spirit. This is a peace in my soul that only comes from the Prince of Peace. Jesus is saying to his people that night, as he says to us today, when we have claimed him, when we have trusted him as Lord, there is a peace that carries you through the storms of life. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what I think of, friends, when I think of that? Does COVID get us on edge a little bit? Yes. Does cancer? Yes. Does death of a loved one or divorce or financial hardship or 100 other things get us on edge? Yes. But when we know the Prince of Peace, there's an internal peace here that says he is still on the throne. He is still the Prince of Peace. And when he says to his disciples that night, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I ask myself, why are we troubled and afraid of circumstances around us if and when we know Jesus? Why do we panic? Why are we so worried and so worked up when we know the Prince of Peace? Of course we have concerns. Of course death of our spouse or our loved one or whatever drains us of life. But Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a peace. I'm leaving you with a peace that's right here that will carry you through those difficulties. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid about these things. Now, I want to say quickly here before I go to my last little story, do not be confused by the world's counterfeit peace. Because the world, the devil, the enemy of our souls, the prince of the power of the air, the Bible calls him, will offer you a counterfeit peace. He will say to you, Jim, or whatever your name is, if you make more money, you'll have peace. If you climb the corporate ladder, you'll have peace. The enemy of our souls will offer you a peace that is counterfeit. If you get more possessions, get a few more things, you will have peace. The world will tell you, if you do this, that, or the other thing, maybe you're so void of life because you're going through such tragedy. You're thinking about trying to just wash it away with alcohol or drugs or something else. The world will tell you, you can get peace in this stuff. I'm here to tell you, it's not so. You will not get peace from those things. We will only get peace from surrendering completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, willing to deny ourselves and follow him, and he will give us an internal peace. He said he would. The angels proclaimed he would. Isaiah said he would be called the Prince of Peace. There will be an internal peace in us that carries us through the winds and the waves and the storms of life. That will not come from the world's offerings. It will only come from a surrendered heart to Christ. The peace that Isaiah was talking about 700 years ago, the peace that the angels proclaimed the night of Jesus' birth, this peace that he is talking about right here in John 14, 27 is because of him. Because he has offered us peace in here. That peace can only come through a total surrendering of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That mysterious peace that Paul talked about when he said, the peace that passes understanding. That mysterious peace that carries you through the death of a loved one. That mysterious peace that just comes over you even when you've been told you've got cancer. That mysterious peace that washes over you even when you're told your whole family has COVID or 100 other things. That can only come through a complete and total surrendering to the Prince of Peace. The world will not offer you that. It'll try to, but it will not provide that to you. The Jewish world at the time of Jesus' birth desperately needed some peace. They longed for peace from the Romans. And peace was among them, and they didn't know it. John chapter 1 describes that. Peace was among them, and very few understood it. Have you trusted him as Lord? Do you know that peace that only he provides? The world is not peaceful, but we can know peace when we know Jesus, a peace that'll carry us through difficult times. This last little story I'm going to share with you. I've shared before, I know that, but it's so timely this time of year, and it so fits for this morning's message. The United States of America was anything but peaceful in the 1860s. In the 1860s, you all know, the Civil War was raging. Over 500,000 people would die. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a Harvard professor of literature, and anybody that likes to read knows he was a poem writer. He wrote hundreds of them. Right about the time the Civil War started, Henry's wife was cooking in the kitchen, and she was cooking near an open fire. I suppose they had a fireplace or something, whatever they had in 1861, and her dress caught fire. And the dresses were multi-layered in those days. You didn't just jump out of it. So it burned her bad enough, she died. It was 1861. The war was raging on, and Henry's oldest son, 17-year-old, wanted to be part of the North, battling the South, and so he slipped off to the war, fought there for several months, and got shot in a battle down in North, in West Virginia or Virginia, someplace, I've forgotten the battle that he was in. He got shot through the shoulder. Henry found out about this, and it was around December 1st, 1863, that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow traveled by train to Washington, D.C. to gather up his 17-year-old son, take him back to Boston, that area where he lived, and try to nurture him back to life. And it was then Christmas morning, having lost his beloved a couple of years earlier, trying to nurse his son back to life and raising the other children, which they had. It was Christmas morning when he heard the bells on Christmas morning. He heard them playing down the street. And he began to pan, as I said, he was a prolific poem writer, and he began to pen the words we know to the song. We call it, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And he began to write, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You see, he knew the Bible. He had a faith in Christ. He had a faith in the Prince of Peace. And he knew what the angels said that night when they said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And Henry knew all that. And he remembered those carols of old, those carols of their time and the scripture of old, and the words from the angels that said peace. But in verse 3, he also knew of the current conditions of America, the Civil War. He'd lost his wife. His son was crippled up from a bullet. And in verse 3, he said, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. "For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men." That's what he felt. There is no peace on earth. He knew the cannons were booming and the rifles were killing people. He knew all of that in America. And he said, "Hate is strong, and it mocks this song from the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to men." But Henry continued to write the poem. And in the verse 4, he pens, "Yet peal the bells more loud and deep. They kept ringing," he wrote. And he remembered the verses from Psalm 121 that talks about the God of Israel will not sleep. He will not slumber. And he remembered those words, and he penned in verse 4, "Yet peal those bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, and the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill toward men." You see, friends, we can and will feel the same way from time to time. We can and will feel the same way if we allow the same way he felt in verse 3, if we allow the events of the world and the chapter that we're in right now to bog us down, we will feel and proclaim the same thing. There isn't any peace here right now. Hate is still strong, and it's still mocking the words of the angels. But if we will take a moment to draw in deep breath and ponder the goodness of God and the nature of Jesus that is peace, we will come to the conclusion that he came to in verse 4, and we will say as he did, "God is not dead, and he is not sleeping." We will feel that peace all over again. And I'm simply asking us again to close before we sing this song. Are you experiencing the inner peace of your soul in spite of the challenges of the time we find ourselves in? Because you can. Every one of us can experience the peace of our soul when we will lay it all down for the Master, claiming him as Lord, embracing him as Christ, loving him as Emmanuel. That peace will override all the turmoil that's all around us.
Pray as we go forward today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this peace that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus. The beautiful thing of this word means it gives assurance. It helps us to understand that this salvation that you give gives us that tranquility in our heart that the world cannot give. Help us, Father, to go into this week of the Christmas celebration. We'll be with our families. We'll be connected through other means of social media to connect. We can bring this message that says beyond a shadow of a doubt, the peace we search for is through the blood of Christ. It speaks of salvation. Help us, Father, to be reconciled with you. Help us to receive. Father, the word tells us it's a gift. You're giving it. So help us to reach out and accept it, to bring once and for all the message into our hearts. From our minds into our hearts, we will live it and proclaim it this week. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.